Good morning, gentlemen. Morning. Is there anybody here that's here for the first time? There is? What's your name? Hi, James. Welcome. And then anybody else here? Yes, what's your name? Hi, Kevin. I'm glad you're here today. No, Kevin. We're going to go ahead today. We're going to continue on in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be on chapter 12 today. Chapter 12 is on the life of the body. So, and when we leave here today, the essence of this chapter is that every single person in the body of Christ is indispensable. Every single person in the body of Christ is essential. And that's a knowledge that a Christian has. So one of the beautiful knowledges that a Christian has is that they can actually stop competing for their own uniqueness. They can be satisfied in who God has created them to be, as long as they live who God created them to be. So Bruce is going to come up, and he's going to speak today on his body life in chapter 12. We're going to pray for him that the Holy Spirit will live directly through him. Lord, I thank you now for Bruce. I thank you, Lord, for what you've been doing in him, for the work you've been doing in him, and now, Lord, the work that you're doing through him. I pray, Lord, that each man here came expectantly. They came to hear not Bruce, Lord, but they came to hear you. So, Lord, Bruce has submitted himself to you, and we trust, Lord, that you'll work through him. We trust, Lord, that each man here, because they came to hear you, Lord, that you would not disappoint. You have a word for them. I pray, Lord, that whatever that is, that you would work it out, and that they would leave here changed men. I pray, Lord, that each man here today would encourage his neighbor, Lord, that you place us in these groups together today, Lord, that we would speak a word to one another. And so, Lord, we look forward to all those things because our hope and our trust is in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Walkers. We had a couple of guests just introduced to you. I feel kind of special because Kevin, we went out to dinner last night for his and his wife's 15th wedding anniversary. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
And you know, we let him know that I was speaking today. He said, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up and watch it fall. what's special about Kevin is actually his wife, Linda. I know there's a lot of you that have seen my wife dance. You know, I'm also known as the dancer's husband. And Kim's dance partner for 20 years now has been Kevin's wife. Okay, and their ministry together has been crucial, influential in breaking down racial barriers. They dance at so many different churches, black and white, and you cannot believe the ministry that these two women have. So, Kevin, thank you for coming. How about that Packer game Thursday night? About time to get back on track, right? Sandy was up here a little while ago, and he shared something briefly with me that his 6-year-old granddaughter had said. And I just found out your granddaughter's name is Ileana. My 6-year-old granddaughter is Liliana. But he made the comment, or she made the comment to Sandy, that everyone needs Jesus, it's just that some of us don't know it. That's when the 6-year-old. But let me change that a little bit. Everybody needs the body of Christ and the spiritual gifts that the office to it. Only some of us don't know it. And that's where we're going to start off today, in chapter 12. The journey through Corinthians has been pretty amazing, didn't you say? And today I'm blessed to be able to talk about chapter 12. Didn't realize what I was getting myself into when I agreed to 12, but nonetheless, I feel the Holy Spirit is going to do a work today. You know, as we look at 1 Corinthians as a whole, you know, Paul had two primary reasons in mind as he penned this first letter to the Corinthian church. The first was to correct the serious problems that had been reported to him. And the second was to provide counsel and instruction on a variety of questions about which the Corinthians had actually written to Paul. They had literally had sent a delegation to him with a list of questions they wanted him to address. Unfortunately, some of it dealt with a lot of carnality that was still going on in their lives, but also one of the questions dealt with the spiritual gifts that many of them had been blessed with. So, the content here in 1 Corinthians includes issues of doctrine and personal and corporate conduct and purity that Paul needed to address. When we get to chapter 12, Paul's intent is to address initially the issue of spiritual gifts that are given to the body of Christ. He intends to do so, again, because of various reports he received regarding the abuse of those gifts. Many of the Corinthian believers were using the gift to glorify themselves rather than the glorification of Jesus Christ. I should also mention that this discussion of spiritual gifts, starting off in chapter 12, really occupies Paul's thoughts all the way through chapter 14. So this is the beginning of the discussion of spiritual gifts and body life. And I believe Mike Casey will pick it up the weekend after Labor Day with chapter 13, I believe. These spiritual gifts were an indispensable part of the early church's life and ministry. In order for these gifts to continue in operation until Christ returns, it was really important for Paul to deal with this subject head on. Paul's response is cautionary, yet corrective, but he never disputes the authenticity of their experience or the gifts that many of the Corinthians and the Christian church have received from God. So beginning with verse 1 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians says, it states, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. At the time, there was a weakness in the church of Christ because of ignorance concerning the Spirit of God and his gifts. God wants us to understand spiritual gifts and to, and I quote, earnestly desire the best gifts." And that's quoted in chapter 12, verse 31. It's important for us to know what these gifts are and to understand what their purpose is. God's purpose for the spiritual gifts are as follows. To manifest the grace, power, and love of the Spirit among his people in their public gatherings, their homes, families, and individual lives. To help make the preaching of the gospel effective by giving supernatural confirmation to the message. To meet human needs and to strengthen and build up spiritually both the church and individual believers. And lastly, to wage effective spiritual warfare against Satan and the forces of evil. Perhaps the greatest thing about the gifts of the Spirit are the two foundational stones on which they're laid, unity and love. If the gifts of the Spirit are to function in any church body, these two elements have got to be present. The Apostle Paul explained the need for unity and love in his first epistle to the Corinthian church. The 12th chapter deals with the unity of the body of Christ that Greg had mentioned earlier. It takes an entire chapter to reveal how important it is for us to have not just a nose, but an ear, not just an arm, but a leg. The body of Christ is one complete structure, and there has to be unity. I'm not better than you, you're not better than me. We're one together in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gifts of the Spirit will not function long without unity. On the day of Pentecost, the day the church was born, the people were all together in one place. Remember? They were in one accord. They were not divided. They were not separated. The church was born in unity. And the church can only be great in unity. In years past, there have been brothers and sisters who possessed certain gifts, but they seem to function and operate as individual entities or separate entities. 30 or 40 years ago, there were some great manifestations of the gifts in America. But I'm sorry to say that some of the people through whom the gifts functioned pulled away from the body. The gifts then were not identified in the body of Christ as they are now, but only with a person. These conditions cannot exist. I am personally discovering more and more each day that God is body conscious. By that I mean He sees us continually as one body, the body of Christ. You and I, as members of the body, must learn to flow together. I'm not one thing, you another. We're one together. For the gifts of the Spirit to flow as they should, it must be through the body, which is the church. God is ready for these gifts to function through the whole body, without great emphasis upon any one individual, and that's key. Each of us should feel that we are chosen of God. No one who is being used of the Holy Spirit is unique in himself. He is only unique in that he is committed to be a part of the body. All of us are a part of Christ's glorious body. All of us in this room are part of that. Today we're entering that time of unity like never before. And I'm so thankful for it. We're becoming the same size, where there's no little one and there's no big one. Just everyone flowing together in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, we see this unity of the body described. And I quote, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." As I read those verses, did you notice the sense of the Trinity mentioned in that? Talk about diversities of gifts. Within the nine gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned here, there are three groups. Revelation gifts, power gifts, and inspirational gifts. There are diversities of gifts, but all three groups flow from only one source, the Holy Spirit of God. I want to point out that although Paul is addressing these nine gifts here in 1 Corinthians, this is not the only list of spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the Bible. It may be surprising to know that the Scripture outlines at least an additional 21 gifts of the Holy Spirit. These other lists can be found in Romans, Ephesians, Isaiah, Acts, Matthew, Mark, and 1 Timothy. Differences of administration. What does this mean? Let me give you an example. It might cost Franklin Graham $50 million to run his evangelistic association for an entire year, while a little country preacher may not pay more than $5,000 a year. But what's the difference? Their administrations are not the same. Franklin Graham reaches out to millions of people. A little country preacher may not reach more than 50 people during an entire year. There may be differences of administrations, but always remember it's the same Lord. That means we should neither look down on anybody nor look up to anybody. All of us are functioning for the same reason, under the guidance and the direction of our Lord. We're not to exalt persons, no matter who they are. We're only to exalt Jesus Christ. No matter what the size of the administration may be, there is only one Lord. The same Lord who does both the little things and the big things. We must not despise one and praise the other. Diversities of operations. Different ministries go about their tasks in different ways, if we don't know that. Some reach out via television, others via radio, others again via the printed page. Some are involved in all three. Yet many others confine themselves to direct personal contact with the people face to face and eye to eye. Again, we must never forget, no matter what type of operation is being used, it is the same God which worketh all in all. We must stop exalting or debasing, looking up or looking down. We must look forward by the power of the Holy Spirit into the great harvest fields that are available to us today. Then God can use us and He can bless us. These gifts of the Spirit can only function if we have the right attitude in our hearts. 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, or for the common good, another translation puts it. To manifest means to show. This flowing out of these gifts of the Spirit is given to every man. Let me say that again. This flowing out of these gifts of the Spirit is given to every man. Some people have developed a philosophy that in every church body, there should be only one or two people who operate in spiritual gifts. That philosophy is not found in the Bible. God wants each of us to have the gifts of the Spirit flowing in our lives. When God gives you something, it's a good thing. It's a plus, not a minus. And there's profit behind it. You recall what happened when Jesus sat down at the right hand of God the Father? In Ephesians 5:6, it makes a reference to, He hath quickened us with Him. He hath raised us up together. And He hath seated us with Him. Okay? That passage deals with the conferring of His authority upon us as believers. And part of that authority is the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:8-10 lists the 9 gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to briefly go through each one of them, not a lot of detail, but just briefly. But the one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. The word of wisdom is defined as the ability to speak with divine insight, whether in solving difficult problems, defending the faith, resolving conflict, giving practical advice, or pleading one's case before hostile authorities. The word of knowledge, the revelation of the facts, in some cases past, present, and future, that were not learned by the efforts of our natural mind. This is also known as the mind of Christ being manifested in the mind of a believer. Faith. We're not talking about ordinary faith here. The gift of faith does not refer to the initial trust we place in Jesus Christ with regard to salvation, but rather the kind of faith that will move mountains. Gifts of healing. The gifts of healing are the most widely used gifts in the Bible, if you all realize that. And the most widely accepted of the 9 gifts that we're talking about today. I want you to note the plural form of the word gift, and gifts of healing. It's not singular. This indicates healing in various diseases and suggests that every act of healing has a special gift that's attached to it. The gifts of healing are supernatural curing of injuries, handicaps, and diseases without the aid of natural means or human skills. They are the manifestation of the Holy Spirit working through the compassionate human hand to the person that's in need. Miraculous power. The workings of miracles are events that contradict the laws of nature. These are deeds of supernatural power that alter the natural course of nature. They include divine acts in which God's kingdom is manifested against Satan and his demonic forces. Prophecy. The gift of prophecy is when believers speak the mind of God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and not from their own thoughts. It's supernatural speech in a known language. Discerning the spirits describes the power to detect whether a prophet or another person is speaking by the Holy Spirit or by evil spirits. The person that has this gift has the ability to discern if a man is an imposter or just an opportunist. Speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues, they go together. True speaking in tongues is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. For a believer speaks in a language that they've never learned. It might be an existing spoken language. You might be ministering to a Chinese individual or an Indian, and all of a sudden you're speaking the language. A good example of that is Acts chapter 2, verse 4. You all recall. Speaking in tongues is accompanied by interpretation when it's used in public worship to communicate the content and the meaning of the utterance. Speaking in tongues is also used by the believer to speak to God in his or her personal devotional time, to help build up one's spiritual life. It means speaking at the level of the Spirit for the purpose of praying, giving thanks, and singing. In verse 11, we see again the thought that was conveyed in verse 7. In 11, I quote, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, if you will." To every man is the phrase that we find in verse 7 as well as verse 11. God said it twice in just these few verses. So it's got to mean something. It's got to be important to God as he mentions it twice for us. Dividing to every man severally. That means that you don't need to stop with one or two of the gifts. It's possible you can have several of them. Then there is a small qualification that comes in the tail end of that verse. It's three words. "As he will." The Holy Spirit has something to do with it. If he wills it. He knows your capacity. He knows your heart. He knows how you have used the gifts. Therefore, he gives them to you, to each of us, as he will. So suffice to say, this is not something that's going to fall on you like poo-poo dust or something like that. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is another admonition to the unity. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." The Lord is pleading through the Apostle Paul for unity in body of Christ. For hundreds of years, he has been grieved by his children arguing amongst ourselves. God's people should not dispute with one another over doctrines or denominational differences. We're bound together neither by denominations or by doctrines, but by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Faith Walkers is an incredible time in that community, which I know draws us here every Saturday morning. It could possibly draw us more often if we met more often. We can agree to disagree, but because of that shed blood of Jesus Christ, at the end of the day, we are still brothers and sisters. We're blood brothers, born again of the Holy Spirit, and by his blood. Any person who is born again is your brother or sister, no matter what their denominational tag might be. If a person belongs to Jesus, he belongs to you too. Both of you are the body of Christ. If he draws a circle and leaves you out, you should draw a bigger one and take him in. Verse 13. "For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." There's a strength and a force in unity that is not found in any other place. And the unity of the body of Christ is like none other. Once the Church of Jesus Christ comes together and flows as one colossal body, the power and the love of God will spread throughout the entire world. Allow me to finish by saying that I firmly believe that the Lord chooses just the right place for each of us to fill the body. God needs all kinds of people to appeal to all kinds of people. We must recognize the total body and determined to flow together with him. I think perhaps there's nothing more dynamic in the world going to be placed in the body of Christ by him. And let me close with this verse. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Amen. Questions on the table?